the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to an association with the very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Attention! Attention! Express Cash! The Barbados Lottery's fastest game in town now has an even bigger rollover jackpot. The rollover jackpot is now over $261,500. That's right, $261,500. It's so easy to play Express Cash. Visit your local lottery agent and ask for a quick pick ticket or fill out a slip to play your favorite numbers. So play Express Cash, the fastest game in town, drawing every 5 minutes at Barbados Lottery agents island-wide.
Well, from Kingston in Jamaica to Bridgetown in Barbados, they're still asking the question, what went wrong with the West Indies team in New Zealand? We need to move on. We need to try to get answers. We need to really go to the root of the problem in West Indies cricket. It's very painful. Speaking to an old lady only on the weekend, and she said to me, well, things are not looking good at all, and she's really fearful that it's going to get worse. And as a mighty Gabby in my promotion is saying, Lord, send an answer for we. I'm Andrew Mason, and tonight we want to look at a couple of things. What are we going to be doing to improve our cricket? And also as well, my understanding is Dr. Ford told me that the West Indies side has been selected, that squad has been selected, and in fact it was selected yesterday, and I hope to be able to bring that information to you. I do know that the extra spin is going, and we want you on Mason and Guests, of course, just a couple of days before Christmas to pick your 15-man squad. Of course, that team is going off to Bangladesh. We hope that we can have much better success. Not the pace of the New Zealanders, but you're going to have to contend with the spin of those friends there who have done a pretty good job. Dr. Andrew Ford is already on Zoom. We've also got Toby Radford looking very thoughtful. And we're going to continue our conversation, of course, with Chris Lewis, who would have left Guyana at the tender age of 10 to go with his parents to England. And we all know that he played some 32 test matches for the England side, and he's going to be offering his perspective. He started last week. So without any further ado, season's greetings to you, gentlemen. And let's go to you, Toby. Hello, Toby. Where are you in the world? Are you in Australia? Are you in England? Are you in Barbados? How are you? Season's greetings. Turn that mic on. Oh, you okay. I think you're on now. Let's talk. Hello?
I'm unmuted now, sorry.
Okay. Where are you? Where are you in the world?
I wish I was in Barbados. I'm in cold Cardiff, in a tier 4 lockdown, actually. We can't go anywhere. Went to get the Christmas shopping this morning, queued for 2 hours. So it's times aren't straightforward in England at the moment. And you've probably heard about the new strain of the virus. So, there's lots of lockdowns here.
Yeah, and we are feeling the pinch, really. In fact, we have kept our borders open because, as you know, we get lots of tourists, and it really drives the economy. And this thing seems to be going, Toby, from bad to worse.
It is. And the unfortunate thing is, I was just listening now to the news beforehand that, you know, a lot of people who fly to Barbados come from the southeast, and it's the southeast that's been so badly hit.
Oh, dear.
You know, in and around London. What's affecting us potentially affects you as well, especially in a holiday season like this when lots of people would come out and enjoy the sunshine over the festive period.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, what part of England are you, Chris? I don't think you're in Guyana having pepper pot for Christmas. Where are you there in? I'm not sure you have pepper pot in a long time.
I'm in not so sunny Nottingham at the moment. I'm in not so sunny Nottingham at the moment. We're under tier 3, so a little bit better than Toby in theory, but it's pretty much all the same over here at the moment.
Yes. How are you coping with it, though? I mean, I know that there's some people are almost going staring mad with these restrictions. How are you coping, Chris?
Well, being used to the outdoors, it's hard work staying in. But at least in Tier 3, I can actually go out and get some exercise, so I can still go to the gym at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I go to the gym, get a bit of exercise, have a bit of a walk. I'm doing a lot more cooking than I'm used to.
Oh, you are, indeed. Any Guyanese, any Guyanese dishes? But
listen, some. I tried my hand at roti the other day. Yeah, man. But no pepper pot is ridiculous. I'm not that bold.
Don't try sweet bread, because Barbados makes the best sweet bread in the world. According to Larry Mears, my executive producer here, tells me that we make a good sweet bread. So don't try the sweetbread, Chris.
Okay.
Well, a man who knows about sweetbread has just come on Zoom. Would have played a lot of cricket, of course, in England. Roland Butcher. Roland, how are you, my friend? Roland?
Yeah, okay. You seem to have me muted there, but thanks. I know you like to shut me up. But,
not at all, not at all. It was Dr. Ford, who did that.
Yeah, probably. First of all, do let me just say hello to Toby and Chris.
Hey, name, Bud.
Good to see them.
Good thing, man.
Good to see you, bud.
Things are not too great in the UK at the moment, but such is life, and you just got to get on with it. But it's always a pleasure, Andrew, to be on your show, and Dr. Ford, you as well.
Yes. Well,
and, look forward to the discussion this evening.
Well, of course, fellow board member Tim Boyce was on last week, and he was like a hot pepper. Did you hear Tim Boyce last week, Mr. Butcher?
Well, oh, you heard about it? You didn't let me forget that, Andrew.
Tim was a lot of pace there from Tim Boyce, my good friend. No. Gentlemen, we want to get into this discussion. We started it last week, and, you know, it's really very painful. We're going to start with you, Roland Butcher. When you do an assessment, we're going to go back to New Zealand. Like most West Indians, you would have been very, very disappointed in the performance of the West Indies team coming out of New Zealand. Now, where do we go from here? That is the general question I'm going to be asking up front. I go to you, Roland Butcher. Where do we go from here?
Well, yeah, Andrew, of course, everybody was very disappointed with the performances in New Zealand, but, you know, you may remember we chatted before the series, and I always thought it was going to be a very difficult tour for the West Indies. You know, history was not on their side, and the fact that during that period, New Zealand had become a very competitive team, so it was always going to be difficult. So the performances of our team, I expected something better, but I always felt New Zealand would win the series simply because at this moment in time, I think they're much better outfit, much more organized. They have more better quality players, match-winning players, particularly in their bowling lineup. You may also remember while all the clamor was about Wagner, and I think Dr. Ford will remember this, I cautioned at that point in time that Wagner was not the person really you needed to put your gears on. Really, it was Southee and Bolt, the two people in New Zealand you would have to watch, and it proved to be. In terms of where they can go from here, it is really out of the frying pan into the fire, because Bangladesh is not going to be an easy tour. It's going to be very, very difficult. You know, you're going from one situation where the ball is swinging and moving around at pace, and you're going to go into an environment where there's going to be a heavy diet of spin. And, our players at the moment, you know, their mindsets cannot be particularly good. So I think going into Bangladesh and going so soon really is going to be a very, very difficult task. And in many ways, it's probably going to be a more difficult task than New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Toby, where do we go from here?
Well, I agree with everything Butcher said. I mean, I think the disappointing thing on the tour was that, the team struggled in both formats. You know, the T20 team lost. Then you were hoping for better things with the test team, and then the test team lost. So I think it was a disappointing team or tour all round. Bangladesh will pose a very different challenge, exactly what Butch says. I mean, turning pitches, very good spinners. I was with the West Indies, actually, when we toured there in 2012. And we played quite well out there, to be honest. We actually got big scores. We posted fours and 500s. People got centuries. We actually won then. But I think Bangladesh cricket's come a long way since then. I think they're a much more competitive team now, and especially on their own patch. So it will be a different challenge, I think, how the guys play the spin and the turning ball. But what I've seen in recent times, and we saw in New Zealand, you know, the West Indies batters struggle more now with a swinging seaming ball than they do with a spinning ball. And we talked a few weeks ago, you know, my belief that that's really the way pitches have gone in recent years in the Caribbean, that you're finding that we've got a generation of players who play spin better than they played the pace and the seam, which they would have done 20, 30 years ago, you know, with aplomb, really. So, you know, these are things we've got to look at. And I mean, it's a deeper conversation about the quality of pitches, practice facilities, all the type of things that we touched on before. But you might want to go into more detail later.
Yeah, indeed. We certainly will. Chris, you would have played against the West Indies side that was far more competitive. I mean, these guys really are, you know, as we would say in Bayesian parlance, making sport. Where do we go from here? I mean, this is terrible. I mean, a gutless performance there in New Zealand.
Listen, we've been here a bit over the last couple of decades,
right?
And we've all had this conversation. We've all put our worth in. Now, Butch and Toby, there's nothing that they said that I would disagree with. It's really how we actually move on from this situation. The guys aren't performing, and everybody, from what I'm hearing, are putting their worth in, they're making good sense. But I think at some point as well, even in difficult situations like this, perhaps the focus could be a little bit more on the players and a bit more encouragement. We know it's not working. We know it's hard. And there's only so much criticism I think you can actually take before that becomes not necessarily very useful, to be honest. I think everybody in the Caribbean knows the situation. At this moment in time, you can look at the West Indies team and you can see the doubt, especially in all the batters, in their footwork and so forth. It's how you get into perhaps people's mindsets and how you go about getting the best out of them. There are issues perhaps all the way down the line, even I would suggest down to regional cricket, that perhaps may not be fit for purpose in getting these guys ready to go up to the higher level. And then they get there and an awful lot is actually asked of them when perhaps they haven't been served by the regional program, which has given them a base perhaps to then when they get to international cricket to actually to perform or have a hope of performing. You know, but I've heard a lot, especially after coming in the show, from everyone. And yes, they're right. But at some point, I think the whole information thing and the whole criticism thing can be not necessarily useful. And as a community, as a cricket-loving, West Indian cricket-loving people, we want to see the actual teams succeed. And my thing, certainly, is to try to get into the players and find out perhaps what they need and how we get to the right mindset to take on this challenge, because it is a challenge. International cricket is hard. It's a lot harder than it perhaps was 20 years ago because there's so many teams around that are at that level. There's so much information around. And if there's a minor flaw in your technique, it's likely to be exposed long before you get there. There are that many people looking at it. So it is difficult. So it's not a walk in the park. Yes, West Indies aren't playing very well, and that's gone on for a while. But in most cases, I've heard, how can I put it, that the players just aren't performing, this is bad, and it's all those things. But I think it gets to a point where perhaps too much criticism doesn't really help the cause, you know. There are people in the Caribbean who are in a far better position than I am to talk about the ins and outs of West Indian cricket, but just looking from the outside, it seems a little bit that way. And I'd like to give those guys, not necessarily a pat on the back, but a bit more encouragement to get the job done, or to try and get the job done.
Interesting. All right, Dr. Ford, season's greetings. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Yeah, season's greetings to you and to all of our guests and to the listeners as well. You know, it's been a tough 20 odd years, but I feel the product, we keep looking at the product on this show and bemoaning, and sometimes we're critical. Some may say we're too critical, I've seen that in some quarters recently, but I believe we have a deficiency, an administrative deficiency. And really and truly, when you look at the construct of the WICB and now CWI, you notice that there are many members who are continuum from one administration to the next. They sit in the meetings, the quarterly meetings, they know about the issues and the problems. We change presidents, but there's a succession plan from within the group itself. And each new person sometimes criticizes the other or criticizes something else, but they've all been there overseeing the cricket over the 20 odd years. Of course, not one person, but I mean, different groups have spent 8 or 10 years. So the thing is that I think they all come to us and tell us it's not gonna be a short term turnaround, it's gonna take time. But these administrators have spent many years there and they've had the time. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that we don't hear about solutions, we don't hear about plans, we hear very little from the director of cricket. There's no vision for solving the problem. But I think we get a lot of rhetoric and a lot of other bits of explanations, but we know the problem. So it's about what are the solutions, but we keep changing. We keep saying a captain isn't as aggressive as he should be, and this person isn't good enough. We change the coach and we change players. One of the good things is that we've kept faith with the group of players, but we can see that they're struggling and we need to find the solution to make them better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to work on now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to you, Toby. Do you think that we are too critical? Of course, fair criticism is a kiss of death in the courtship of achievement. Mm. But do you think that we're too critical of the West Indies players?
I think at times people can be too critical. I mean, I'm all about dealing with facts.
Mm-hmm.
I think here there's two things to look at. I think there is trying to get the optimum results out of the current crop of players. So whatever tour they're on, trying to get the best results. And that comes down to preparation, individual preparation, team preparation, and make sure we're doing everything we can to win series. And I think the second thing that we've really got to focus on is the next 10, 20 years to get a legacy again of West Indies cricket and to get West Indies cricket back to where it was in the heyday. And that involves the type of things I've talked about before, but I'm very keen to talk about them again because I really believe in them. That's mm-hmm. investment. It's investment in good facilities. It's investment in good pitches. It's investment in equipment so that the players who are going to be the future West Indies stars have everything they need to become those West Indies stars. Because I think, as I've said before, and I really don't mind repeating myself, in the heyday, when the West Indies was pure talent, the other countries weren't investing. They've all invested and they've gone ahead of us, not on ability, but on investment. And I really would love to see some investment to take us forward. In terms of the current crop of players, it's about preparation, individual preparation, team preparation to go and do our best in New Zealand or Bangladesh or wherever the team travels to. And that's what I really believe in.
Just before I come back to you, Toby, of course, we're going to go to Roland, but I'll be very interested in asking you, when you came to the West Indies, we're going to go right back, what did you see? And in fact, when you left, what was very much on the table? But Roland, let's come to you now. I mean, you're intimately involved. You are a part of the cricket development. I note with interest that Dr. Ford took a hit there at the board. And we also had our very good friend Chris Lewis making the point that sometimes we can be too critical of our players. Your response, Roland?
Well, Andrew, living in the Caribbean, you live with criticism. That's what happens in the Caribbean.
Yes.
People are extremely critical of everybody. You know, you can be doing a fantastic job and you slip once and there's criticism and people want to get rid of you. But, you know, I think the players, you know, that's something they've got to live with. That's how it is in this region. Nobody's going to give you an easy run. And it's something they've got to live with. I mean, what Toby says is obviously very, very true. You do need to have the right facilities, you know, whether it's grounds, pitches, you know, technology, you know, coaches, etc. You've got to have the best available technology to make your players the sort of players that you want, because the rest of the world haven't sat around and just watched you. You know, they did for 20-odd years where you were dominating, but, you know, they then decided to do something about it. And, you know, you've got to counteract that. Okay, we do have less money and resources than those countries, but it's a case of redirecting your focus into the areas that's likely to get you the best results. So, you know, those are the things that's going to get the best results, really, the investment in the development of the players. Don't wait until they get to the test side, because it's too late then. You know, all you're doing then really is trying to get the best out of what you've got. And if you're asking a coach at that level to be coaching players how to be good players, then, you know, you're not going to be very successful. So it has to happen down the line where, you know, the work is done so that when those players get to the international level, really, the coach can concentrate on winning series and not so much having to spend time correcting individual problems. So we've got to work extremely hard going forward, but I think we've got to get our priorities right. That's the key. What are the key priorities? We may not be able to afford all at one time, but what are the most important things that we need to put in place, put them in place, and give them time to work? Because, you know, we in the Caribbean are very, very quick at saying something is not working, and you've only planted it yesterday. So, you know, let's do that and see what happens.
Indeed. Well, you know, coming out of New Zealand, there was a lot of criticism, but we also saw one or two positive performances, and Shamar Holder joins us now. We hope a little bit later on the show to talk to our good friend Mr. Blackwood there. He, by the way, he's in Barbados, and we also want to go to Trinidad and Tobago and talk to Josh De Silva. But Shamar's joined us on Zoom. Hello, Shamar. How are you this evening? Season's greetings.
Hi. Hello. Good afternoon.
Right. Okay. Good. Nice to talk to you. And, of course, you got Roland Butcher, did you know very well. In fact, Roland would have selected you for the Barbados side. And Toby Radford, I don't know if you've ever met Toby. I'm sure you have. And Chris Lewis. Yes, indeed.
I'm not sure.
Yes. All right. Now, I'm sure you're happy to be back home, Shamar.
Yeah, it's good to be back home after a long tour.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How did it go for you, though? I mean, that experience in New Zealand.
It was a good experience. Different conditions, you know, a different ball altogether. It was a kookaburra ball we used this time, not the juke ball. Wasn't much movement. A lot of grass on the pitches. Not accustomed to seeing so much grass on the pitch. But it was a very good experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back to England. Then we go to New Zealand. Of course, I'm sure that Dr. Ford and maybe anyone you want to talk to the young man. I remember first seeing him playing for the combined schools. It was a game at Leicester Vaughan a couple of years ago. In fact, Henry Wallace was the select. He played against in Catrins, and we knew from then that this young man was going to create a big impression. He did, and I'm not surprised at all that you were in the West Indies side, and I'm very, very happy with the way you've performed, and we're glad that you've actually come on the show. Let's look at that England experience. How was the experience when you went with the West Indies side to England, Shamar?
A lot of preparation was done in England in terms of line of length and how the setup batsmen. A lot of information was given from the senior guys. Although I didn't play, I still learned a lot from watching. And yeah, I would say it was a good experience. It also helped me into my first test match.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it was really good to see you bowl very well. I know the Jamaicans in particular, when you played at Sabina Park, Orville Higgins and those guys, they were singing your praises. And in fact, they said that you were going to make the West Indies team very, very quickly. Dr. Ford, any questions for Shamar?
Hi, good night, Shamar, and congrats on becoming a test player. The bowling coach has really been praising you quite a bit from the England tour. Can you tell us about some of the things you've been able to work on with your bowling coach?
A few things that I worked on would be bowling a full length, because the ball kind of tends to bounce a lot more in England and also New Zealand. So it's bowling a full length, attacking the stumps more, utilizing the new ball, making batsmen play a lot. and using the crease also. So a lot of work was done, as I said before, a lot of work was done, and also a bit of work was done with the wrists. So a lot of work was done with the bony coach.
But a lot of times we hear coaches and others talk about bowling the ball in the right areas. For those of us who may not actually play the game, is this something that's determined based on the surface, how the surface plays, or the expectations of how the surface is going to play?
Well, bowling, right area, first you got to assess the pitch. All pitches don't play alike, and it also, as the days go on, the pitch would change. So early up, it might have a bit of moisture, you know, it might have a little tennis bounce, you could afford to go a little fuller. And then later, in the back end of the game, it might flatten out where the ball just going straight onto the bat, so you got to adjust your length.
Well, what was the most satisfying part of making your debut and bowling those overs against New Zealand?
I would say for me, it would be joining the guys that I play with for Barbados. And also my family was very happy because we talk about it more than once when it was coming through the levels, you know, from the youth level on the 17. That's where we first started out, Barbados on the 17. And then they came through the level, the ranks. And it finally made it where I want to be. So it was a good experience for me.
For the last question for me, tell us about that experience at the Academy in Australia and what that did for your game, because you were complimented on your stint there and mention was made of your fitness and about how you progressed. How was that experience in Australia?
It was a good experience coming back to where we play in New Zealand. New Zealand is kind of similar to Australia in terms of the pitches and the ball. And also how some of the batsmen, but they're very patient. The slightest mistake, they'll put away the bad balls. So you got to be concentrating a lot harder every ball. So it taught me to just stay in the game longer, be patient, and also how to work out batsmen in the long run.
Well,
I'll let someone else ask the question.
I don't know. Roland, you have a question? Toby, or even the motivator, Chris Lewis? Anyone?
Question? First of all, before I ask the question, I just really like to, you know, congratulate Shamar on obviously his test debut. Obviously, he was looking forward to it for, you know, some time. And obviously, New Zealand was a nice place for him also to make it, because it's a nice learning area. New Zealand, a nice country to actually learn the game and to be playing against some good players. So obviously Shamar would have a good idea now as to just how hard Test cricket is. It's easy for people to sit on the outside and say the game looks easy. But when you're on the inside, I mean, he would be able to tell you just how hard it is he would have had. Obviously the experience of bowling at some very fine players in conditions that looked when people from the Caribbean looked at the conditions, all they could see was green. They couldn't see the pitch, but I'm sure he could tell you, you know, actually how he had to go about his work. But Andrew, the other thing, I don't think Shamar has really dwelt too much about it, is that trip to Australia, for me, you know, it was at the right time for Shamar because he hadn't made the Barbados side at that point in time. He was a young player on the way up. And to actually go and spend 3 months there with like-minded cricketers from all over the world, because there were players from all over the world. And he can probably tell you some of the guys who were there with him at the time. But I think those 3 months really helped prepare him for, first of all, first-class cricket, and then eventually get into the West Indies side. But, you know, Shamar, as I said, congrats. It's not over yet, because this is only the beginning. And, you know, you've got a lot of hard work to do. And this next assignment, I'm sure you'll go on this next assignment, but this will be a different assignment to this one. And I just hope that you learn as much as you can on this one as well.
Yes. Of course, we got Toby and the man who was always about inspiration, Chris. We've also been joined by Kyle Mayers. A little bit later on in the show, we hope to be joined by Josh De Silva and Jermaine Blackwood, who is in Barbados, has consented to join us as well. Kyle, good evening to you, sir. Season's greetings. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew.